Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get this show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
And Mike, the feverish Fanero.
He's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it, baby.
They come. Wait, wait.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever, episode 254, and I am here, as always, you guessed it, with the feverish Fanero himself, Mr. Feverish. How in the hell are you this evening?
That was like a high energy intro. I like it. You got me like all kind of, I was already excited about tonight's show.
I almost even forgot to bring you in, too.
No, you did not.
Just going to keep going.
All by yourself. No, I'm excited, man. I like that. You brought the energy, Swag.
And what else are we bringing this evening? We're going to keep you in the action with the quick, early, way too early landing spot reactions. So we're going to go through a mock draft brought to you by who? Where is that from, Feverish?
Sporting News, which is a derivative of Sports Illustrated, I believe. It's a seven-round NFL mock. Don't worry, we're not going to go through all seven rounds. But yeah, from Sporting News.
What are we doing?
Our way too early.
I'm ready to go through every single pick.
There's a lot of names on here, Swags. I don't think it's going to be a little bit more than a 45-minute show.
Yeah, we won't even get to anybody they care about till what, pick seven or eight, probably.
Yeah, something like that.
So what we're going to do is kind of just dig into this, see how we feel about some of this, maybe what we would have liked to see go to some of these landing spots a little bit, and just like we said, a way too early reaction to this mock draft. Where did you want to start with this? Because we are all over the place. We're throwing it in a hat. We're just pulling them out. No order.
The first place that I wanted to kind of hit, just because it makes logical sense, is towards the top. So the two names that really glared out at me and their landing spots, we're at the QB position. We have a top 10 pick at Malik Willis going to the Seattle Seahawks at pick 9. But then we also have a Desmond Ridder finding his way into the first round as well.
I was a little surprised by that.
At pick 20 with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I actually wanted to talk about both these guys for two totally different reasons. Malik Willis, I did a player profile with Paul Perdikizi from Saturday to Sunday that none of you have heard yet. Not even you, Swax.
What?
Not even what? You, but will be coming out very soon.
Vault?
It's in the vault.
Not even handing me the keys.
It's raw and in the vault. Goodness. Needs a little love, a little editing. But we had a great time talking about Malik Willis. The upside and the downside that is Malik Willis. I gave him 4 landing spot, Swags. I said, you know, Seattle, Carolina, Detroit, Atlanta. What's your favorite? What's your favorite out of all those? And he said, you know what? Out of the 4 you gave me, I'm going to go Atlanta. But if you had given me a 5th, I would have picked the Pittsburgh Steelers as my favorite landing spot for Malik Willis. You know what his least favorite landing spot was for Malik Willis?
Seattle. I'm guessing it's my favorite.
Seattle. He hated it.
That's the spot that I want him.
He hated it for these reasons. He thinks it's the type of offense that Seattle runs, the lack of creativity, and that he won't sit much being picked that early. He wants him to sit a little bit. So he really likes the bridge quarterback that is in Pittsburgh with Trubisky. Conversely, which is why I brought up Desmond Ridder, I actually had another player profile in the vault, Swags, that you haven't listened to either, with Mr. Jeff Bell. And Jeff actually loves Desmond Ridder going to the Pittsburgh Steelers. He would prefer to be in the second round, though. He would love to see Pittsburgh improve their offensive line or something else in the first round. But he did pick the Pittsburgh Steelers as his favorite spot. He loved the young weapons that would surround him, that he could kind of grow up with. He likes, again, the bridge player that is Trubisky. And also, just he just he doesn't feel like that offense will ask much of Ridder. He's got Harris, he's got young weapons. He just feels like it's a nice little, like, year one kind of hold the clipboard, maybe start at the end of the year, and year two still not be asked to do everything. So he loved Desmond Ridder there. So I liked.
I feel like that's such wishful thinking for this entire draft class.
100%.
To be honest with you, I think that this is not the kind of draft class that you want to hear that they're going to sit a year. Because if they're going to sit a year, you'll probably never see them play. That's how I feel about this draft class. Unless it's somebody like maybe Malik Willis. But then even then, I want to see him play this year, because otherwise you might as well just have Drew Lock and some draft capital. That's how I look at it this year. And that's why I'd like to see him in Seattle, where I do think he'd start in an offense that I think that would suit his raw skill set. That's how I feel. So I like seeing that landing spot in this particular mock draft that we looked at. But again, that's how I feel.
I don't think that
this is a draft class that you want to try hard to find ways to get excited about the quarterbacks.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I mean, Desmond Ridder very rarely, I think he's kind of, and this is something that everyone will hear on the Pro Pod, I think he's like really flying under the radar as far as a QB in any mock draft that I've ever had.
You heard me on the Superflex Super Show. Mm-hmm. You were there.
So, yep.
Anybody that wants to know how I feel pre-draft can go check that out. And I'm just not there.
Yep.
So...
That
surprised me to see him as the other one in the first round. So since we're on the quarterbacks, another one that surprised me, and I didn't even know if I was going to bring this up, but just since we're talking about all this, was Sam Howell, 66, to Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
The reason it surprises me is because I don't think he's going to make it there, first of all. I think that he'll be another quarterback that's probably drafted too early in this draft class, as teams are looking for a quarterback. Second of all, if Detroit drafts a quarterback late in the second round, I don't care. They don't care. They're not trying to replace Goff this year. If that's, you know what I mean? They might get Davis Mills, and then you have another bridge quarterback. And that's my problem with this draft class. Are teams just going to spend draft capital for a bridge quarterback? I don't think they want to.
Yeah, I can hear that argument. It's obviously going to depend on the team, and it's going to depend on what's in front of them. Who you think has the shorter leash. And to your point, Detroit has a lot of sweet spots to pick a quarterback. You know, I think you are not a huge fan at the number two overall. I am not either. I don't really think that's going to happen.
That was my number one rule when Finero brought this idea to the show. He was like, hey, man, let's just go through some mocks and like kind of react to it. And I loved it right away. And I said, I have one rule, though. One challenge for you. We cannot have a mock draft with a quarterback going number two to Detroit, because the minute I pull one of those up, I click right back out of it. Mm-hmm. Because I think it's hogwash.
I agree.
It's somebody with too many fantasy expectations and too much Goff hate. It's almost like hype has turned into like hate these days. Like, what can we hate the most to hype something to that situation? And I think that Goff is just as fine as any quarterback in this draft class. And I think that Campbell knows that.
Well, to your early point, if they're going to make a shift, or they project that they're going to make a shift, possibly like give Goff this year. Okay, Goff, you have this year, and we're going to, you know, if you play it, but we're going to put this guy that we drafted 32 in the same chair. Basically, you guys are now going at it. That would be the only chance I think a quarterback would have in Detroit if he was picked in that spot. So I think, and I still have. Personally, I still have 34 at a wide receiver for Detroit, and I know you want that as well. So what do you think about this mock with John Mechie being your wide receiver at 34? I think you had some better names, right?
Yeah.
You were hoping for some better names,
jealous,
right?
by Sky Moore falling to the Vikings.
Moore.
That's
yep.
the one that I had down, because I didn't even want to talk about Detroit's pick, because I was like, I don't think that's what we're doing there.
Yeah, well, you didn't think you were going to go Amon-Ra in the fourth. I remember every single round you were just like, now they're going to go wide receiver. Oh, now they'll go wide receiver. Oh, no, they have to go wide receiver in the third, and it just didn't happen. But, no, I love that you plucked Sky Moore right out of the air, so to speak, because you saw him go just a couple picks after Detroit's John Mechie pick, And with the Vikings, I kind of like that spot. It comes across as not really sexy, but if you think about it, Adam Thielen, he basically could be Adam Thielen's replacement. Adam Thielen's going to probably, you know what I mean? It feels like a really nice spot for him to kind of land.
He's one of the guys that I wanted to touch on. I love that spot. And because of what you just said, like, you're looking at his replacement and a nice speedy guy on the outside. It's not going to hurt Justin Jefferson at all. It's going to make the team instantly better. I like that one, Finero.
Yeah, I like that one a ton. And it's one of these weird – So we talked about a couple of these landing spots that we liked. We talked a couple of these landing spots that we think is ridiculous. Some that don't even jive with kind of like where we think these draft come. But that shit happens in all these in all these drafts. It absolutely happens. So like as any mock that you look at, you're going to be able to pick apart today and tomorrow. You're going to pick apart the real one when it happens in late April. You're going to pick it apart and say, "Can't believe this guy went so early. Or why did this guy go so late? Or he was my tight end too, and he didn't even get drafted. Like, what's happening?"
Think of how many wide receivers that you've liked ended up going to the absolutely. Cardinals.
Yeah, that's a good one. That one year, it's like every one of them went to the Cardinals,
and they kept doing it.
That's where I wanted to go next. The thing I didn't like about this mock was where Breece Hall went. So first off, Breece Hall goes fairly late in my estimate. Let's see where in the second round was that? Was it like late second
to the Cardinals?
Yeah, so we're talking about late second. So I agree. I have a vibe, and I think most of us do. Just like we did last year, Najee Harris just felt like he was going to Pittsburgh in the first round. He just felt like he was going to Pittsburgh in the first round. Breece Hall just feels like he's going to Buffalo in the first round. Buffalo has everything they need. They have the luxury to draft Breece Hall. It's a perfect match. Like, it just feels like we might as well just write it in. I just feel like Breece Hall is going to the Buffalo Bills, and we should all just get over it.
Yeah, I think that the only way he doesn't is if he, for some reason, goes a little bit earlier, or if they have a good pulse that they can get Kenneth Walker with that next pick, which is where he was actually mocked to Buffalo there.
Correct.
But then you have to wonder if he actually goes there.
Yeah, if Kenneth Walker goes there?
If he would make it still, like, just the next pick after where the Cardinals were picking at 55 there, 57 would be Kenneth Walker to Buffalo.
Yeah. I mean,
that's tough for me to see. I think, like you said, I think Hall goes in the first round.
I do too.
Right around there. I mean, that's where these guys are drafted, whether you like it or not. People don't. I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was right at the end of the first round. Last year, we had two running backs drafted in the first round. Swift was like a 202 or something, just two picks after Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Like, these guys go early. There's going to be some early running backs. I think that teams are waiting to see what running back they can get in the draft right now, and then we're going to see the rest of the free agents start to fall a little bit more.
We had two running backs go in the first round last year.
Yeah.
You know, people forget about ETN also going in the first round because he didn't play, but it was a bit of a surprise. But two went. And speaking of two, that's kind of where I want to go next, is this strange phenomenon, and I'll call it a phenomenon because I tried to find some historical reference to whether it's ever been done before, but this phenomenon that two first-round wide receivers are going to Green Bay. Like, I still can't get over this. Like, it feels like impossible. It feels impossible.
Adams.
It feels impossible to me. It really does.
Like the season they drafted Jordan Love.
This is crazy, dude. Like, every other time you're looking at a mock, I don't know, dude. I think it's one of those things where it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this mock had Drake London and Jahan Dotson going 22 and 28, Drake London going first. I do like the Drake London. I think I told you, like, this is going to happen to me. There's Kansas City, there's Green Bay, New England. There's just some insane sweet spots where if one of the top five wide receivers go to one of these teams, like, I'm going to be all in. Like, I think most people are. I just don't think Drake London lasts that long, to be quite honest, 22. This is another one that doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to me. I don't think Drake London
is the one I would love to see Detroit. And I know you're saying you don't think he makes it to 22,
but I'd love
to see him make it to that, or that 32.
I was willing to say at 22 that you get it all at 22 if you're Green Bay. You get value. Because he's dropped to you, then you get the size, the speed, the hands. He'll step straight into Green Bay's starting outside wide receiver. I mean, yeah. I can't imagine he wouldn't. And same would go for Detroit. Mm-hmm. So for me, like I just don't see him dropping this far. I don't see Green Bay selecting two wide receivers. I think it's more likely Green Bay trades one of those first round picks for a veteran. To be honest, we've heard a lot of rumors about some of these wide receivers that are up for big contracts because now the wide receiver contracts are so outrageous that maybe a team would be more willing to move a McLaurin, or maybe a team would be more willing to move. We already heard that Seattle's not moving Metcalf, but I think both scenarios are unlikely, that they trade a first to get a wide receiver and that they use two firsts to get two wide receivers. But if Drake London fell to them, I would really love that.
So I'll be honest. I'm gonna go to a tight end. And I'll be honest, I thought this one seemed a little bit silly to have the Bengals taking Trey McBride with their number one pick in the NFL draft when they have Drew Sample, who is an admirable blocker. That's not fantasy talk. That's his job.
Yep.
And then they just got Hayden Hurst.
Sure.
And I just don't think they're going to, if they get into the tight end garden within the NFL draft, I don't see that being the need that they should take care of in the first round. It felt laughable to me. Maybe that's too far, and they're gonna probably, all this will probably happen, and Detroit's getting matchy, and
no, dude, that's the first thing I thought of too. Obviously, it's the 31st overall pick. It's a very late first, but it's still Cincinnati's first round pick,
right?
And it doesn't make any sense. They've done a great job in the offseason getting offensive linemen. They've been sneaky good at that. But there are still plenty, like defense.
And a tight end, to your point.
Defense.
And
like they have a tight end. Yeah, they have plenty of needs. I just don't think the tight end. I think tight end, like to your point, was addressed the way. I'm not trying to say Hayden Hurst is what is the ideal scenario. But as we so often will use bridge quarterback, maybe Hurst is a bridge to, you know, one of these guys later. As we know, tight ends don't take off in year one anyway. So maybe
maybe there's just not going to be a fantasy tight end there we care about.
Yeah,
maybe
that happens.
He is their tight end, though. He's still 27, 28, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's young enough to still put in 2 to 3 serviceable years on a team like that.
Sure.
And I mean, they have Tyler Boyd, Jamar Chase, Higgins, Joe Mixon. They don't need.
No.
They don't need Kyle Pitts.
Nope, I agree.
So that was one that I was just kind of like, this seems, no, I don't think. And even if they do, I'm not interested.
I love that you brought up one that like kind of like you didn't like, one that ticked you off, because I concentrated so much on
the ones I got excited
about. Well, I guess I did technically too, right? Like Breece Hall's not going to go that late. I didn't like that. One that I really did like, Swags, my RB5 is James Cook. James Cook went in this mock. James Cook goes 68 overall, and he goes to the Houston Texans. So despite Marlon Mack going to the Texans, I love James Cook. He would immediately jump from my RB5 to my RB4. And it doesn't sound like a big jump, but that's like right behind Spiller. So James Cook to Houston, I love. He has pass catching 3-down ability. So even if Marlon Mack works out, I think James Cook winds up being the 1B there. And if Marlon Mack doesn't work out, he winds up automatically being a 3-down back there. There's just no depth. There's nobody really there. Don't tell me about anybody else.
Do you love it, or do you think it's going to happen?
Do I think James Cook could be picked that early?
There. Do you think they're going to do with that pick?
Yeah, that's a third round pick. Yeah, I think that absolutely could happen.
Because I don't think that they address the running back position in the draft. I don't think that these are the guys they're going to use.
You think Marlon Mack is their answer?
I think they're going to hope so.
Oh, okay, all right. Yeah, I mean,
he's showed some that he can do it. He's had like what, 2 1,000-yard seasons, pretty close. I mean, don't forget that last year, not you and me, not here at Rookie Fever, But people were saying that Marlon Mack was going to be a problem off that injury for Jonathan Taylor. And now he's had an extra year to rest. And there's no competition for Marlon Mack. Unless, like you said, somebody like James Cook, then that's a different story. But man, if there ends up being no competition, this obviously isn't rookie fever talk, but we'll keep it in. Marlon Mack is an absolute low-cost add to your dynasty rosters right now that could help you if you need a running back. If they do not address that through the draft, Marlon Mack, I think, could be... I mean, look how quickly you fall in and out of love with guys like James Conner over the year, David Johnson, like these guys. And, man, I don't know. Yeah, I don't think they're going to address the running back in the draft.
I think you're wrong. They've
done it with these mediocre guys in free agency.
And when I say I think you're wrong, I don't think you're wrong about Marlon Mack. I just think I think most NFL teams don't have a depth chart that slim. Do you know what I mean? Like it's Marlon Mack and no one. Like they're going to address the position, whether it's a third round, the fourth round, the fifth round, they're going to add depth to the position. They need another running back. And I'm telling you, James Cook is my number five in this class. So I think he's talented. So if they take a stab at a running back that I think can do it all, that's why I said 1B right away. I said, even if Marlon Mack works out for them, James Cook's not sitting on the bench. Like there's like five teams where they have running backs that run 300.
There's only carries. One spot always... I really want to see James Cook go.
Oh,
and you're gonna hate it and love it all this
probably time. You got me excited.
I want him playing behind his big brother.
Oh, I've heard this before.
I want to crush Alex Madison team's hearts. I want them to realize they should have got rid of Madison a few games back. You know, especially like maybe you just took over an orphan team in a super flex league with some really awesome people that you like, and you want to trade Alexander Madison before the show comes out. Feverish.
There you go. There you go.
I'm just saying. I think that would be fun.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Dalvin Cook hasn't been the picture of health. I think that they'll be addressing the running back as well. And you know that his brother's chirping in their ear.
It's good timing that you bring that up, wasn't it? Stephon Diggs like tweeted out how he wanted to play with his brother in Dallas, but he would love to play with his brother. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean that would be cool. I mean, it'd be real life cool, not necessarily fantasy cool, but it could be fantasy cool too.
Yeah.
I think it would be horrible watching the game, though. It's like, which Cook is in? They would definitely have to wear their hair different, so I would know.
I just strangely want to see Marlon Mack a little bit. I don't know. I just want to see it.
I have him stashed, so I mean, I'm hopeful, and I was excited to see the news, because if you're going to land somewhere, that's a fantastic place for Marlon Mack to go. Mm-hmm. But I'm also just kind of like keeping it real for myself. I'm not getting too excited about it. I know that they're going to bring in competition. So like if I am a Marlon Mack owner, I don't want to see a back like James Cook go there. I don't want to see them invest early third round draft capital if I'm a Marlon Mack owner. So like, you know, if all of a sudden it's a fifth round running back or even a late fourth round pick, I'm feeling better about my Marlon Mack, and I'm feeling better about your narrative that's who they're going with. Like they're committed to him. And that can happen. That's the most fun thing about the draft. And I think that's why I literally jumped the ship tonight and decided to talk about landing spots, because I'm just so excited. The draft's right around the corner. It feels like I'm going, you know that I'm going to be in Vegas. I'm like so excited to finally know where these people are landing. So I just wanted to like screw around with it a little bit. Like, what if this guy went there and what if that guy went here? Like, how does it make you feel knowing what colors they're wearing, you know? And I would feel immediately down on Marlon Mack if James Cook went there, and I would immediately feel much better about James Cook, because I don't know where he's going to go. I don't know. He could go anywhere between the third and fifth round.
So fairly recently, Finero, you and I did some player profiles with People's Champ on the Daily Draft Report.
Yes.
I did Hassan Haskins, and you did Dameon Pierce.
Somebody great I want to bring up.
By the way.
Yep. Thank you.
I don't know about yours. I haven't listened to yours yet, but no,
yours was a great listen.
No, yours was as well. I listened. I liked it a lot. And I was surprised in this mock. I was surprised by this. I don't know if you were, but I was surprised to see that Haskins went about 26 exact picks before Pierce, Haskins going to the Titans, and Dameon Pierce going to the Jags. How do you feel about these landing spots and the draft capital invested?
It's funny you mentioned Pierce, because the two that I really was dwelling on in the fourth round was Zamir White, who I thought should be or possibly would be a third round pick. And Zamir White, by the way, is my fourth overall running back, and that's why if the cards fell the way they are in this mock, where James Cook is going to a better landing spot before White, I would flip flop those. So didn't like where Zamir White went. Didn't like.
What about the ones I asked you about?
Yeah. So. So Haskins obviously getting the better draft capital. Remind me, where did he go?
He Tennessee, went 131. Finero. Where? Listen, don't think. 131 to the Titans. Dameon Pierce went 157 to the Jags.
Yeah, I definitely like the Titan spot better.
But at the same time, we could have a world where James Robinson and Travis Etienne both come into the season not ready to play.
I don't like that landing spot for a running back, period.
No.
At all. Like, I don't care if they both wind up on the pup. I just think that's a shitty place for, like, I'm immediately not interested if he went there.
Very late draft capital.
Super, that's what I mean. Like, it's combined with just a whole bunch of suck. Like, I would be interested in the Haskins one, though. Because there's a handful of guys, like, people. Haskins is absolutely one of those guys. Bam Knight, Pierre Strong, and this Mako in the fifth round. These are names that I have as, like, flyers. Like, you know, maybe if I have five rounds, you know, or if I have a late fourth, I'm going to pick these guys up as flyers. If all of a sudden that they're landing in these kind of spots where Haskins is going, now there's a they kind of, like, they get off of that now, and it's like I need to obtain them. So, and I'm not going to be the only one, but that does kind of flip the script for me. It's the kind of the same way that Dameon Pierce, like, I didn't like where Dameon Pierce went. His draft capital was later than I wanted it to be. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of out on Dameon Pierce. So, like, those running backs, everywhere between, like, 6 and 12, 6 and 14 for some people. Pierre Strong is outside my 12. But again, if they wind up getting fifth round draft capital, the reason they're outside my top 12 is I don't think they're going to get top five rounds. But if you're in that fifth round, I'm going to take a peek at you, because at that point, so late in your rookie draft, like, that's interesting. And Hassan Haskins with that landing spot, the landing spot alone, the draft capital kind of sucks a little bit, don't get me wrong. But again, he's so late on my list that he becomes an interesting flyer now.
I'd like him to go to Washington.
You want any back you like to go to Washington?
I'll tell you what, man. Yeah. I mean, people, if you have Antonio Gibson, you need to do something about it this season. Be actionable and be smart about it, but he's not going to have a long dynasty career if Washington keeps letting him play through all the injuries he's had. This isn't even me throwing shade. He's done great. He's played a lot, but he's done a lot of it hurt, which is awesome. You think it's awesome. That's part of your narrative of why you like him so much, but it's shortening his dynasty career. It's compressing it all into a couple of seasons for you. You can have fun and ride it out, or you can do the competitive rebuild and do very well moving on from him. You're not even going to take a hit. You can do very well moving on from him. That is all about Antonio Gibson, Finero. I feel like the Haskins, and to all of your points, and I do like this landing spot a bit, because there's really nobody I like really that much behind Derrick Henry. But at the same time, I feel like they're trying to replace him too quickly.
Sure.
In some of the mock drafts.
Sure.
And they're trying to find the,
yep,
the closest thing to him that might comp. And there's no Derrick Henry, first of all. So they took, like, the big guy that's getting, like, yep, a little bit of shade and mocked him up a little bit, yep, to the Titans.
Little
that's
recency
how I felt
bias
about the mock a little bit.
Little recency bias with the injury, and, you know, injury equaling, mm-hmm, overuse equaling, they're going to need help. Obviously the age, but it's really the injury. If he didn't get hurt,
right?
Come on, dude, he would have the rushing title, all that, and people are acting like he was hurt for like three quarters of the season. It's that's not what happened either. So You're right. It blows up a little bit. There's a running back that I'm curious how you feel, because I know that I brought him up several times, and I think he got the draft capital I wished for in Ish, Wish, and Feverish here in the third round. Brian Robinson goes in hopefully to replace Melvin Gordon on the Denver Broncos at pick 96. So he winds up being a top 100 pick, goes in the third round, and goes to the Denver Broncos, who run the ball a whole hell of a lot. Now, we don't know how that's all going to play with Russell Wilson. You would think that Russell Wilson wants to come in there and say, well, screw running the ball all the time. I want to start airing it out. I got Sutton. I got Judy. Enough with this. But I also don't care, you know, like as far as Denver, their O-line, obviously all this is predicated upon no Melvin Gordon. I still like the spot for Brian Robinson. I kind of do. I know
I'm with you. And
another reason I like
it. Lot.
Another reason I like it, dude, is no one else is going to like it.
Yeah. Well, it's something they're ready for. Even they're ignorant if they don't think that Denver's going to have another running back there. They always have. That's what Denver do. Javonte Williams, you should still like more if Brian Robinson lands there than if Melvin Gordon's there. Like, that's the best case for Javonte Williams teams, honestly. I'd rather have Brian Robinson there than Melvin Gordon today, just as the vet that knows the team. And but yeah, Denver, if Melvin moves on, that doesn't mean that Denver's moving on from the idea of having another running back. So, yeah, I don't mind that one at all. I think it makes a lot of sense to your point.
Yeah, I really like it, too. I think they both complement each other well, but also can kind of be a one-for-one. If Javonte was to miss any time, Brian Robinson is an excellent catcher of the football. I just feel as though they can have a role. Or Brian Robinson can have a role. It might not be as fun as you want it to be, but we're talking about Brian Robinson, right? So, like, he's not one of these top three running backs coming out. He got the draft capital. He's now got this opportunity in a great offense with a great quarterback. I really like this spot. I like this spot in a way where I think I'll get to draft him, because I just really don't think people will think this is a pick they want to make in their rookie drafts anymore, because they're all over Williams. And I just feel like that, as you had said, I think that's just kind of a mistake, because that's what Denver do. You know, they like having that second running back. And I think to my earlier point about Marlon Mack, like, there just are just a handful of teams running one back all the time. There are these compliment this whole rookie draft is full. 2022 is full of complimentary backs, and complimentary backs has gotten this such a horrible taste in people's mouth when they hear that. But the reality is those backs are more and more and more useful every year that goes by, because these teams are just adapting to that. They're having multiple backs, and that's just the way it is. Just like wide receivers, there's more three wide receiver sets than there ever has been. So you just have to adapt to that as fantasy owners. And I think Brian Robinson will just be a great spot.
I think it's been like that.
Yeah, absolutely it has.
You know what I mean? Because I've always been running back early and often. Yeah. Like, before I was into Superflex, I was running back early and often, and that's because of the advantage I felt it would give me to my teams if I had those top, like,
100%
five of the top 12 running backs versus, you know what I mean? Because there were always just this group of, but I think it's thinned out a little bit, to your point, in playing style of teams where you can still like have viable running backs. And I think it has changed a little bit, but yeah, I think Denver's going to have a running back there with Javonte Williams.
I do too.
I've thought about moving some Javonte Williams because of how excited people are about him. And I like him a lot. So he's one of those players you don't want to move.
Yeah.
But what else you got there, Finero? I see you.
I'm looking deep now, because I kind of just threw out Bam Knight and Pierre Strong in the fifth round, because these guys are like just about off my radar. In my mocks that I do, I see Pierre Strong going late in the fourth round. Bam Knight almost never. These two players are going 177 overall, 179 overall. But more importantly, they went in the fifth round. These would be like the stabs in my draft where I'm just like disgusted. I'm like looking around. I'm like, I don't want any tight end. I don't want any wide receiver. I'm kind of done. But you know what? You know what, though? I hate these landing spot swags. I was looking at draft capital alone. Do you like a running back that's a flyer in the fifth round of pick 177 to Detroit?
Man, the third round of our rookie drafts is going to suck this year.
We said that last year, too.
No, it's really going to this year. There's gonna. It did last year. See, tell me where you hit in the third round last year.
Elijah
Davis
Mitchell.
Mills?
Elijah Mitchell.
You had Elijah Mitchell in the third round?
Most people did.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't. but
I'll,
the third,
I'll pull up
one
the one
player,
we're
though.
In.
Dude, that's not fair, though. Listen, man. There's. I'm not saying like there's not going to be anybody that slips through. We're all going to have somebody that we feel really good about that we're targeting in the third round. But, dude, the third round is going to suck this year.
Yeah.
Fornero just said the fourth round on Elijah Mitchell. But
fourth, he went.
Man, I'm trying to use my third rounds to trade up or something or attach something else.
Well, in all fairness, let's – actually, I love that you brought that up. We didn't plan on doing this. The third round in this one was Kenneth Gainwell.
I'm talking about the rookie drafts.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Oh.
Yeah. Kenneth Gainwell went 3-1. Nico Collins, Davis Mills, Kellen Mond, Kyle Trask, Chuba Hubbard, Hunter Long, Josh Palmer, Ramondre Stevenson, some
so
value
two
there.
Hits. Mitchell and
yeah.
Davis Mills.
This is rough. Anthony Swartz, Tylan Wallace, Tutu Atwell. Yeah, it's a rough round. And I remember specifically last year feeling, even in Superflex, it was happening mid-second round.
Yeah,
you were
it's
feeling
awful.
That way. Mid-second.
Just get rid of them. Get rid of them. Fornero, I got to kick you back up on your feet. You got to run us out of here with these landing spots. What are your final thoughts this evening, my friend?
All right. Final thoughts. Here we go. All right. The number one thing that holds people back. Any ideas? Number one thing.
Themselves.
Yes. Pretty much. In this case, in my final thought, I'm going to call it the story. So the story that we tell ourselves, the story that we let other people tell about ourselves. And the reality is that we kind of play that same story over and over in our head, whether we think it's something we can't do, something we can't achieve, or something we are. If we just say, oh, I'm forgetful, I never remember anyone's name. You just keep telling yourself that same story. That is your story. And what we have to remind each other or ourselves is that we're the ones that hold the pen. We're the one that writes the story. If you tell yourself a different story daily, you'll motivate yourself to do the things that you think you can't do, the things that are holding you back. So just remember, you own the pen.
Write your story. Those were the final thoughts from the @ArtBarkDB on Twitter. I am at Swagzilla0G. This is at Rookie Fever. And we are out.
When you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight, fever in the morning, fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night. I light up when you call my name, and you know I'm gonna treat you right. Rookie fever, when you kiss me, when you hold me tight. Fever all through the night. Everybody's got the fever. That is something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago now.
Got the 101 scouting, it's never done this to be going run. I told you anyone, silence speech, just on real landing spot, not ideal. Wait, when's this breakout? It's full rookie fever stage.
Romeo loved Juliet, Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my flame. I'll give a fever. When we kiss it, fever with our flame in you. Fever. I'm a fire, fever, yeah, I burn for soup.
So who's got the fever? Cause I got the fever. Now you got the fever, so she got the fever. And he got the fever, no cure for the fever. So let's feed the fever, thank God for the fever.
Thank God for the fever.
Now you got the fever, now you got the fever. Now you got the fever, now you got the fever.